This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Hello, and welcome to a new and exciting Road School Moms Live. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, full-time RVing mom to four beautiful kiddos and road schooling mom to those same kiddos. Coming to you live from beautiful sunny Utah today, where we just planted our home after a month in Las Vegas. I'm really excited to be here tonight. On both online with you and looking forward to my co-host joining us in a few minutes. And I'm looking forward to talking about dry camping because I have been doing a lot of dry camping for the last month. So with other road school moms, and one of them, Clementine Backstein, said that we should have a road school mom show about dry camping. And so I happen to have a friend who wrote a couple books about dry camping, and Marion Edwards of Boondockers Welcome, and the Frugal Schoenbackers guys will be joining us later in the broadcast in about 15 minutes. But for now, I'm going to introduce Mary Beth Goff.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher, coming to you live from the Midwest this week. So happy to be here. How are you, Kimberly?
I'm great, Mary Beth. I was just telling the listeners that we have just parked ourselves in beautiful, sunny Utah. We spent the last month in the Vegas area, you know, as we had the rally and then wrapped up the rally, and continued to enjoy the weather in Vegas, but it was getting hot, so we moved north, and now we're in Utah. Where are you calling from?
I am coming to you tonight from Central Illinois. As you know, we came back to take care of some things that we had to take care of back in Indiana, and we spent some time with family over Easter. And we are actually en route this week. We've got a couple days left to see some family members here in Central Illinois, and then we are en route back to Southwest Florida. So we're just kind of on the road without our rig.
Awesome. Yeah. I know that can be a little unsettling.
Yeah, it is unsettling. It's funny how, I don't know, we'll be glad to get back home. That's all I can say about that.
Absolutely. So I have a few show notes before we get into what our road school looks like and whatnot. As I was driving here from Las Vegas, I was working on the Boondocking Rally recap, and we had a photographer come to the rally and she took some 300 pictures, and then Greg Gerber took a couple more 100 pictures, so I'm actually wading through over 500 pictures to put the recap together, and it's coming nice, but oh my goodness, that's a lot of pictures. It's beautiful, amazing. And when I look at the pictures, I'm like, I cannot believe we did all of this without water or electricity. It's amazing.
That's so funny, too, when you have somebody that, you know, looks to take pictures and is good at it, and somebody like Greg Gerber, who that's, you know, part of his profession, you know, it's you know, you may have a couple, like if I take a couple hundred pictures or you take a couple hundred pictures, then we can sort through and find, you know, the 20 or 30 pictures that were great. And when you have somebody like that taking the pictures, then you've got really a whole bunch of awesome pictures. So it's hard to sort them out. I wouldn't want that job.
It is. It's definitely, yeah, we are truly blessed with some beautiful pictures and wonderful memories. And I was wondering about maybe uploading them all up to some sort of photo share site so people could see the other ones we have, because I, unless I make the video about 4 days long, I just am not going to do them all justice. But also, we also have a professional photographer coming now to the Road School Rally, the Not Back to School Road School Rally in Branson in September. I'm really excited that Mitch Lundgren from Rebel and Ravel's Photography is going to be joining us to do, drum roll, Mary Beth, Not Back to School Portrait.
I know. I'm so excited about it. And those back to school portraits are going to lead into our first ever FTF yearbook, and I cannot wait. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, so the yearbook's going to be fantastic. It's going to have the, you know, family portraits, and people who are not coming to the rally will be able to submit family portraits. And we'll be able to sum up the year in FTF events and Richard Peter events. Do you know that it's a year this weekend from Tucson?
I was waiting to talk about that, but my crew's been talking about that for the last couple of days. We've talked about where we were last year at this time, and we've talked a lot about that, about the Road School Rally from last year, and we definitely did remember that. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that it's been a whole year since we were in Tucson.
It is. It's really hard to believe that, but yeah, that's what happened there. So, and then the other thing I want to talk about at the Not Back to School Road School Rally is you have 3 more days calling all graphic designers of every shape, way, and means. You do not have to be a professional graphic designer to submit your design. We are hosting a logo contest. I have some amazing logo contestant entries already in my inbox, but we truly welcome more. So you have 3 days to get us your logo design and submit it to Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com, and then we will load them up and have a vote. And the logo with the best number of votes will win, that designer will win a rally swag pack with a whole bunch of goodies imprinted with their logo design, including T-shirts and tote bags and all sorts of fun stuff. So definitely you can go to fulltimefamilies.com to find out more information about the logo contest.
Right, and one thing we want to talk about, right, Kimberly, is that the location for the Not Back to School Rally is going to be in Branson, Missouri, if you haven't gotten that information yet, and the spaces are limited. So there's lots of spaces already been reserved, and if you're planning on coming, you need to call right away and get that rally reservation made with Kimberly and get your reservation made at the campground, because when the spaces are sold out, they're sold out.
That's true, Mary Beth. You're right. The spaces are going fast, and so definitely you want to get involved in that. I know a lot of the people that just left the Vegas rally said that they were going to meet us in Branson. So it's kind of like meet me in St. Louis, only a little to the west. So that should be lots of fun.
It's a great location because it really is kind of at a crossroads for the whole country. So no matter where you're at, it's probably really not all that far to get there. So great location.
True. We're also in the midst of hosting another contest right now. We're having an Instagram contest called Where We Road School. And if you want to join in, what you want to do before, you probably have about 10 minutes, 15 minutes to do this, but you want to upload your picture to Instagram, tag it with the word Road School Moms, and then get all your friends to hurry up and like it. Because the picture at the when it's prize time with Miriam Edwards, that we're going to pick from the picture that has the most likes that's tagged with Road School Mom. So go ahead and get on that. I'm looking at them right now, and it's a pretty close race.
Don't you forget sometimes when you're doing things, like I do this all the time, and I was thinking about your Instagram contest. There are Instagram contests this week, and the kids are like, why haven't we sent a picture? And I'm like, I don't know. I sometimes, like, don't you feel like you road school and you don't really feel like you're road schooling? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that happen during the week. We always talk about this before the show with my kids. I'm like, what have we done this week in our road school? And it's like you really have to sit down and think about what you've done, because it's just kind of part of our everyday life, you know?
I know. You know, it's true, Mary Beth. I do take it for granted also. And that's why I really love right before showtime, I always go into my phone and upload like 3 or 4 pictures of what my week looked like. And I'm always amazed at how much we've actually accomplished, because I feel like we don't do that much. When I look back at the pictures, I go, wow, that's exhausting. I did all that in a week.
I feel the same way. I'm on the road tonight, though, so I couldn't upload my road pictures.
Well, yeah, do that later. I can see that Jennifer Holt has uploaded her pictures, and it looks like, I don't know, I think there was an orangutan involved at her road school week. That's or a monkey. I might have my primates all mixed up. But yeah, you should always definitely, we'd love to see that. You can go to our Road School Moms Facebook group, and we'd love for you to share what your road school looked like, because it's always very interesting to see what other people are doing. One thing we did this week for our road school was go on a big, large three-family hike through Valley of Fire, which is a phenomenal geological treasure, 45 minutes north of Las Vegas. It was simply beautiful. We went on a hike called the Fire Wave, and it was very majestic and lovely, and we really enjoyed it. And then myself and Greg Felty and his son, and I took my boys, went and found a warm spring right there in the Lake Mead Recreation Area, and we explored that. And we also went to the Hoover Dam. So, yeah, we did a lot this week. It was exhausting.
And the country that I absolutely love. And I was sad that we missed the Boondockers rally because, you know, we were just too far away. And when I look at your pictures, it makes me remember how much I love it. Love that area.
So what did your road school week look like?
Well, our road school week has been a little bit choppy because we spent our Easter weekend with family, and we've been back and forth, kind of on the road back and forth, so it's been a little bit choppy. But the main thing we've done this week, this is kind of a science week for us. So
wait, Mary Beth, we're having a hard time hearing you.
Mm-hmm. You can't hear me at all, huh?
Well, I can hear you a little bit.
How about,
but I hear a lot.
How about that?
Hear it.
Is that better?
That's better. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
The week's been a little bit choppy because we've been on the road off and on. We were, like I said, it was the Easter holiday. We did that with family, so we didn't get a whole lot of road schooling done then. But what the beginning of the week, I didn't have a lot of prep time, so I handed our road school over to my oldest, and this was supposed to be a science week for us. So what he done was he put together a little list of hands-on science experiments that he was kind of in charge of and got on YouTube and kind of planned out the days and done some hands-on experiments with the younger kids. So I was really proud of him for stepping up for that. And then we started a unit this week on Abraham Lincoln because we spent some time in Illinois. And we went to the Vermillion County Museum, which is a place where he visited quite a bit. And what we've done is kind of are making a kind of a scavenger hunt, so to speak, of all the places that we can find that has anything to do with Abraham Lincoln between Illinois and his birthplace in Kentucky that we can follow on our way back to Florida. So we're kind of learning as we go.
That sounds fantastic. So you are physically rabbit trailing.
We are.
A term in homeschooling and road schooling where you might be studying a subject and then you get involved in one aspect of the subject and really go deep into that information. So you are physically rabbit trailing Abraham Lincoln. I think that's fantastic. I can't wait to see what that turns out to be and what sites you actually go to visit.
I know. You know, we kind of started out with a timeline. The older kids were kind of creating a timeline. It was my original idea that we would, you know, see his birthplace and try to, you know, see some of the other places, like where he lived and when he was in, you know, Congress, when he was president, all, you know, before he was president, all those kinds of things. But there's so much information out there. And, you know, I've lived in this area my whole life and didn't realize how many places there were to see that have something to do with Abraham Lincoln. So we're going to take advantage of the fact that we don't have the rig because we don't have to worry about, oh, my gosh, can we go there? Can we park there? What are we, you know, how are we going to get there? What are we going to do? You know, we're in our vehicle, so we're going to take advantage of that on the way back and just, you know, see where it takes us.
Well, I love that. I love that you see the silver lining in not having a rig because, as you know, as road school moms, we are very attached to our rigs and very attached to all our stuff in our rigs, and it's a little unsettling when we don't have them, but that you recognize that there's other things you can do that not having your rig will allow you to do, that's really great. I know that you're a silver lining kind of gal, and I like when you share that information with us. Well, as you know, Mary Beth, the last couple weeks, I have been camping without being plugged in to power and with no sewer and with a no water connection. And as you can hear, I have not lost my mind yet. I'm still very much of sound mind and sound body, And after we are plugged in for these 2 days, in the spirit of full disclosure, I will say that. But after these 2 days, we're going back out into the wild. And as you know, this is called dry camping or boondocking. And I know that you haven't done, have you done any dry camping?
We have done dry camping a couple times at motocross tracks. You know, my boys are dirt bike riders. So we've done that a couple of times at dirt bike tracks, but I will be the first to tell you that we've not done it for long periods of time. So I'm intrigued by it all. You know this. I don't know. I'm looking very forward to our interview tonight with Marianne because I have lots of questions for that.
I'm glad because, you know, when I was in a house, I envisioned dry camping or boondocking. I thought, yeah, that sounds great. In fact, when you look at the brochures that you that they use to sell RVs, you'll notice that the RV of your liking, the make and model, is parked all by itself out by a lake or a vista or some beautiful mountain, and there's, you know, flora and fauna, and it's just so idyllic. And yet the reality of RV camping is, if you do not go dry camping, is that you're pretty much in a glorified parking lot of one way or another. It doesn't look anything like that in the brochures. So in my mind, before we were full-time RVers, I thought, wow, yeah, we're definitely going to park by lakes and streams, and it's going to be wonderful. And then, like I said, we found ourselves in these parking lot situations. Some of them are quite nice, but really, all in all, they're large parking lots, sometimes with landscaping. So in 2012, we hosted a rally in Suwannee River, and I knew that I was not the only RVer that was hesitant to try dry camping. I knew there were a lot of us that wanted to, but yet it seemed really scary to be completely self-reliant and self-contained. So Marianne Edwards joined us at that rally and gave a wonderful seminar on dry camping. So when Clementine mentioned that we should have a dry camping roadshow, I knew exactly who I needed to call, and thankfully Marianne was ready, willing, and able to come on with us. So Marianne, welcome to Road School Moms. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kimberly. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi there. It's so nice to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
Marianne, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners, for those of them who are not familiar with who you are?
Well, my name's Marianne Edwards. I'm from Ontario, Canada. My husband, Randy, and I discovered RVing and started on a very low budget 15 years ago. We travel not full-time, but for extended periods, generally every 2 years. We try and get away for 5 or 6 months at a time. Since then, I have started writing a series of guides because we've been traveling on a budget, hardly ever pay for camping. So over the course of 6 months, we might spend less than $200 in camping fees. So I started writing a series of guides of where we actually find all these great boondocking locations. And then, so that's one website I started to sell these. They're sold as electronic files. And then I have a second website called Boondockers Welcome. We can get into that later if you'd like, but that's another version of finding free camping. It's camping offered on private property by fellow RVers.
Well, perfect. I just put in our chat the one URL that you referred to, which is frugal-rv-travel.com, and that's where our listeners can go if they want a sneak peek at your guides. But could you please describe for us what boondocking is, and is it the same as dry camping?
Well, I would describe boondocking as camping, or at least spending a night, overnight, for free in an RV anywhere outside of an established paid-for campground, so without any facilities. Dry camping.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, so, and I know purists would like to insist that it has to be miles away in the boonies, miles from everything, but I guess there's always been some debate about how far and whether that has to be the case for the word boondocking to apply. So the word dry camping, however, can apply to just being parked in a campground where you've paid a fee, but you haven't got hookups. So if you're in a national park campground, a national forest campground, often you've paid a fee, you have a picnic table, you have washrooms and maybe showers available to you, but you haven't got any hookups, so you are dry camping. So while boondocking is always dry camping is not always boondocking.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up for us, because I know that was always a question for me for many months, what was the difference. So who can dry camp? Do you think it's more for families or singles, or what's your opinion on that?
Anybody who wants to get closer to nature and experience camping on a little more rudimentary level can certainly dry camp. If you have an RV, they are built for dry camping, boondocking, because why else would they put in holding tanks if you're always going to be hooked up to sewer? Why would they give you a big rechargeable battery and generators if they expect that you're always going to be hooked up to electricity? Why would you have those big holding tanks for fresh water? They're there for boondocking, for dry camping. So anybody, sure, families, retired people, young people, single people, try it. It's fun. We've been doing it for 15 years, and we wouldn't do it any other way.
Well, you know, it's just those words that that our campers are built for. I remember you saying that in 2012, and that gave me so much confidence to really explore this option. What other items? You mentioned that, you know, our RVs come with a lot of the items we would already need. What other items are required for boondocking?
Well, if you think that boondocking would be done outside of established campgrounds, what is it that a campground would offer you that you would want to have that is not already in your RV? Perhaps a picnic table. So you'd want to make sure that you have maybe a folding table and folding chairs that you can provide your own. Maybe in a campground they will provide a grill for you to barbecue on, so you might want to carry a little portable barbecue, or even a fire ring, although a fire ring, you can usually build that out of stones in most boondocking locations if there are stones available. Of course, you'll want to make sure you have enough water with you. That's not really an item, but your water tanks, just make sure they're full when you start boondocking. Make sure your waste tanks are empty and that your batteries are charged.
Do you think that you have to have, you know, one of the requirements are solar panels and a generator?
We've been boondocking for 15 years and never had either. So now we're pretty good at conserving, but also we are not people that go and sit in one spot for an awful long time. We can make our fresh water tank last us 4 or 5, maybe 6 days. Our dumped black water tank can last us sometimes close to 2 weeks, if we're not taking showers in our unit, or we're kept somewhere where we can actually we can toss out our dishwater and water a plant somewhere far away from the RV, then we can make that last almost 2 weeks. But it's usually power that we end up finding electricity that we run a little bit short on if we stay longer than 4 or 5 days in one location. Now, that means parking the whole time. We are in one unit. We do charge the batteries every time we drive. So it's very rare that we just go and sit in one spot and not at least drive into town for supplies or drive around the area just to tour it. So you don't need a generator and you don't need solar to try dry camping, and I would advise you try it with what you have and just be careful with what you use as far as electric and water. Be conserving, and then you'll figure out the solar and generator needs as you go along. It depends on what unit you're in and your style of travel.
I think that's very sage advice. I think a lot of us feel like we feel comfortable in the preparation stage of boondocking, and so we're going to go run out and get the solar and run out and get the generator and maybe actually never even dry camp, because those preparation steps we can handle, but maybe the dry camping is an unknown. And I think that your advice to go out and try it first is really important, because just like living in an RV, you don't know what you need until you've tried it once or twice. And there's no harm in trying it one night and then pulling into a campground the very next morning.
Exactly. One or two nights, maybe you can push it to three, but yeah, try it first, because you, and then ask around, because there are so many opinions and so many different ways to handle solar. The right way, the wrong way, the expensive way. There are so many opinions on that that you definitely want to do some research before you invest in that. It's not cheap.
Right. I will also note that we had 30 families come to our dry camping rally, and they had every combination of power, from zero power, a family in a tent with a van, to Uber power, where my husband has just put on 1,000 watts of solar on the roof, and every combination in between. And you know what? We were all quite comfortable.
Exactly. So the needs of each individual will vary, and you have to meet your own needs.
Okay, Marion, you told us about your tanks sometimes filling up. Can't you just dump your tanks on the ground when you're dry camping?
You can, I guess, but you shouldn't. In some areas, people will sometimes dump their gray water tank, their shower and wash water tanks, or at least run your drain straight outside. We never do that. Never do that. We manage to get to an RV dump station when we should. Now, just because I said that doesn't mean that when we do our dishes in the morning or we bathe, just the old sponge bath method, that we don't toss that water onto a plant somewhere or somewhere away. I suggest that you toss it away from where you're camped, because it could attract rodents, especially dishwater, if it has any particles of food. But I think that that's okay, because tent campers do the same thing all the time, right? They're not out in the wilderness, and they don't have holding tanks. So I think that that's okay, but not if you've been filling your draining your sink into your holding tank for a whole week, then to let it go somewhere, that's not very nice for the person that arrives there.
Just listening to you talk, you make things sound so easy. It's like, I'm so glad we've done this show, because it just, I don't know, it's, Kimberly clearly has, done this before many times, but I am not. And so I feel like the last month, especially every time we talk about the subject, I just get a little bit more empowered and a little bit more confident to know that, anybody can really do this, and that with just a little bit of planning, it is a great experience. So tell me, you've been doing this for 15 years. I can't even imagine all the awesome places that you've boondocked. Can you tell me some of your favorites, some of the best places to boondock?
Well, how about right on the north rim of the Grand Canyon, or just outside the south gate to the Grand Canyon, or within view of the Red Cliffs of Sedona? Most of the places that we have found boondocking has been in the southwestern states. And that's basically because National Forests and Bureau of Land Management own a lot of publicly owned land that you can find here, and on most public lands there are some rules. You do need to know them beforehand, but they're pretty consistent across the board, and they pretty well allow public use in the way of camping, hiking. It's one of the beauties of the Southwest. They're beautiful places, and publicly owned land allows boondocking. So that's how we find our places, and we found many of them throughout the southwestern United States. We just love this area, And when I say this, it's because I'm from Ontario, but right now I'm down here, so in New Mexico.
Oh, so you went to these lovely locations, and then you wrote these locations down in a guide in which you share what features and amenities locations offer. You also share specifically why I love your guides and refer to them daily is because you specifically state what, you know, if a larger size rig will fit. Because in my estimation, there's a lot of sites that will fit, you know, Class Bs or even a, you know, moderately sized Class C. But when I have a 42-foot camper behind me, I'm not sure I want to pull down that bumpy, rocky road if I'm not going to fit at the end, nor maybe be able to turn around. So your guides tell me that. What other information do you share in your boondocking guides?
Well, they're all written following a route. So there are six of them following various, one for each sort of five different states. I have two for California, actually. But following a route that we have come up with on our own travels and traveled several times over the years, routes to the national parks, routes to the natural wonders that we particularly enjoy seeing, places that we love to hike, and towns and information about towns and museums and some other stops in between. Some information on where there are free RV dumps, although you can always find an RV dump at an RV park, you end up paying, but we've collected the frugal aspect of it. So the least expensive, if we can't find free boondocking somewhere, I will tell you where the least expensive camping is. And the biggest thing is, and I think that's why people have liked and followed and keep following my guides for years, is that I have seen, we've seen those sites and evaluated them all personally. And so you know that if you start to trust my opinion on whether your rig can not just get into that site but go down the road to get to that site, then you will know that I'm probably going to not lead you astray in the next spot either. So I do also offer updates free after you bought the guide once. So if you bought the guide from me 7 years ago when I first started writing these, you get free updates every time we travel to an area and we discover that something has changed. So,
well, that's awesome. I didn't realize about the updates. That's a great thing to know. So Marianne, tell me, can you walk me through what the day in a life of a dry camper would be like without electricity and all of those normal things, you know, that you would get in a regular campground?
Well, I guess since this is a homeschooling show, it would probably be a good example of how to conserve. So if you want to teach your children how to conserve, that might be conserve energy and water and some of the things that we take for granted in life. That might be a good way to do it, is to try dry camping. So if you got up in the morning, you normally have a shower every day, you maybe would not be able to have a shower at all or less often because you're trying to conserve water. You would maybe have a navy shower, if you know what that means, turning the water on and off between sudsing your hair. You would perhaps, instead of having a plug-in coffee maker, you would have the kind that goes on the stovetop so you're not using electricity. You'd use a hand grinder for grinding your coffee beans. You would not have access to perhaps your microwave oven or your air conditioner unless you ran a generator. So there's lots of things you would have to conserve with water and electric.
That's a really good point. Okay, so earlier in the broadcast you mentioned another site that you run called Boondockers Welcome. What is that?
Well, like I said, we found so much boondocking in the Southwest that we keep coming back here all the time. So in trying to travel to other areas and wanting to still travel on a frugal budget, we realized that it's not that easy to find in other parts of the country where there's a lot of population, for instance, in Ontario especially, where campgrounds are quite expensive, but there just isn't the public land unless you're way up north where there's nothing but trees and bears and wolves. So traveling around to other parts of the country, we found that we wanted another option to staying in campgrounds and paying the high fees, and we developed a website called Boondockers Welcome. This site has now, over the last couple of years, we've registered almost 900 RVers who own property and are willing to allow other RVers to spend a night or two or three for free camped, parked on their property. So it might be their driveway, they might have a field or a piece of grass for you to park on. Many of them also are generously offering power or water if they have it, but the minimum that they are offering is a free place to park. And I should say, all members don't have to be able to provide this to join. We have some full-time members. We have full-time RVers, I mean, as members. So, and people who want to be able to use the service but do not have the property to be able to provide a host location themselves. So we have two tiers of membership there. Does that make sense?
It does. So is Boondockers Welcome, is it for families, Marianne?
It's for everyone who's traveling in an RV. Now, the one qualification is that you must be in a self-contained RV, meaning that you do have your own washroom facilities, etc. You're not expecting anything other than a parking spot. And if other services like water and electric are offered, that's great. But our hosts are not expecting our guest members that arrive to ask to use the bathroom or to need anything other than the parking spot. We have young families. We have, if you look through the website and you can see all of our host locations listed there, you'd be able to find a range of singles, couples, retired people, families, younger couples, a whole range of lifestyles and ages there.
What a fantastic service. Thank you so much for putting that together. I know it takes up, I believe your daughter helped you run that, is that true?
Yes, Anna. So she's already the young mother who totally understands the needs of young people as well. So she's not a homeschooler, but sometimes I think she might actually like to try this traveling and homeschooling for a year or two herself. So you might see her down the road at some point. Who knows?
Well, that'd be lovely. Well, both of Marianne's sites are boondockerswelcome.com and frugal-rv-travel.com. And I think if you get to one, you can get to the other. Is that true?
Well, certainly through frugal-rv-travel.com, there's a link to Boondockers Welcome. If you are on boondockerswelcome.com, if you join as a member, you will be actually given my for free access to my ebook for boondocking in New Mexico. So it will link you through to the Frugal RV Travel website as well. In a couple of places, there was a mention of that free ebook, and that will link you through to the other site.
Well, that's good to know. Okay, so Marianne brought with her tonight as a prize the complete set of e-guides. These are electronic guides. So they're instant access for one lucky listener. And we ran a contest all week long on Instagram called Where We Road School, preparing for this show, because this week I road schooled while I was boondocking. And then we had our listeners upload their pictures to Instagram, tag them with Road School Moms, and then have their friends and family vote. And I'm going through the submissions, of which there are quite a few. Thank you so much for everyone that played along. And the clear winner with 30 votes is RV Family Life, also known as Amanda Bush, who road schooled this week at Cadillac Ranch in Texas. They went and sprayed those Cadillacs, and she posted a picture of her three beautiful road schoolers on one of those caddies. So congratulations, Amanda. I will get you in touch with Marianne so that you can get those guides. And I know that that's going to be wonderful for Amanda, because I happen to know she's heading out west and hopefully meeting us out here in Utah. And I'm sure that they're a very adventurous family,
with, I think they have like a razor or something, one of those four-wheel drive things. So boondocking will be perfect for them.
Perfect. And I've got a great guide to Utah for you, Amanda.
Yes. In fact, I was just in that one today because we are going to be using your suggestions for Zion in 2 days.
Excellent.
Well, Marion, thank you so much. Yeah, I find them so helpful. I really can't talk about them enough, and especially since now we're so involved in dry camping and boondocking and really so spoiled by this new aspect of our adventure. After 5 years of bringing kids up in campgrounds and adhering to, you know, campground rules that flex every time you move, this dry camping is perfect for our family at this point. It gives us the freedom to really explore this country in the way that suits us best.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yes, and your guides are invaluable for figuring out where we can park our home. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, and thank you so much always for your support of Full-Time Families. We sincerely appreciate you and Randy and what you both do, and we hope that all our listeners will go to your website. We'll put the links all over Road School Moms, and check out all the information you have there.
Great.
Thank you, Marion, very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Oh, I love that woman. She's really what gave me the confidence and inspiration to be able to do this. I know it sounds silly because, like she mentioned, our RVs are made for it, but it just does seem unsettling not to have a place to plug in. But once you do it, Mary Beth, it's totally addicting.
Well, you know what? I was just getting ready to say it's so funny because you and I have had these discussions on the air and off the air so many times about this, you know, this part of it. And I have really, you know, she used the word confidence, and really that's what it is. You just have to have a little bit of confidence that you can do this. You know, and her guides empower you so much. I mean, if you're going into an area that she has an e-guide on, then you're crazy not to, you know, to take advantage of that because, you know, all the information's there. And what do we always say? You know, don't be scared, just be prepared. And this just goes along with that motto that we do here on Road School Moms.
Absolutely. Now, I know Drew Holt was listening, and he really wanted more information about solar power systems. And I will, you know, that's not really what this show is about. It's more an entry into boondocking. Maybe in the future we could do a solar panel show, but in the short run, if you have questions specifically about solar panels, it happens that I now live with a solar panel expert of sorts. Who just installed our panels, and I have to tell you, I really don't even realize I'm not plugged in. That's how amazing of a job he did with these panels, how wonderfully wired this house. It is completely seamless to me whether we are plugged in or not because I always have all the power I need, with the exception of running the air conditioning, which is why I mentioned earlier in the broadcast we headed north because we'd rather not run the air conditioner. We'd rather have the windows open. With the exception of running the air conditioner, I can do everything else in this house, Mary Beth. My computer charges all day, the TVs work, you name it, everything works. It's amazing.
That's so amazing. And I'll tell you, you know, really, we talk all the time on the show about how our road school evolves, and we talk about how your life on the road evolves if you're a full-timer. And isn't this just part of that, Kimberly, really? Because I know for me, when we started this, you know, started down this road, it really is so that you can, or at least for me, was because I wanted intentional time with my family, and I wanted, you know, to kind of get back to, you know, a little bit on the old school side, you know, get back to the basics for a lot of things. And that really, you know, dry camping and boondocking, that's what it is. And I love it that Marion brought up the thing about, you know, conserving water, because I was thinking that as we were talking. You know, we had a limited amount of time with her this evening, but I really, you know, wanted to talk a little bit more about that because I thought, you know, that really is a great thing to share with your road schoolers and your whole family about, you know, conservation and a minimalist, if you will, lifestyle. And really that's what we all are gearing towards. So it's, you know, just kind of an evolution and kind of the next step, right? And I'm proud of you for taking it before me, and I'm really just as excited as I am proud because, you know, then I can copycat right after you, and I don't have to worry about how to do the solar panels because I'll just do whatever Chris does.
Right. All right. You'll just park next to me. We'll get that done. You're right. You know, Mary Beth, when my kids went to school and it was Earth Day time, as it is now this time of year, they learned all about conservation, and they really did do their best to not have the faucet running during their toothbrushing sessions or whatever. But living conservation because of the immediate supply and demand, because of your immediate needs, is completely different. And once you learn to live this way, you know, I continue to learn to live this way, even though I might be plugged in. I run around and I close all the lights because I want to conserve the power of my batteries. And I just look for ways to conserve, especially dry camping situations are mostly pack-in and pack-out situations. So you're really going to need to look into meals and opportunities to create minimum amounts of waste. But there's good news. This is a lot of information that we're sending to people, but there's good news. My good friend, Ken Fetterfield, wrote an article for Full Time Families magazine many, many moons ago about boondocking basics and conservation specifically. And I will go ahead and find that and put it on Full Time Families and tag it. So anyone who's interested in more information about conservation and dry camping can read that. That was a really great guide to conserving your utilities.
Yeah, I can't wait to read that. It's all about the confidence and the knowledge. So I'm looking forward to putting together some more information on that myself.
Yeah. So this week, as I mentioned with Marian, we are going to Zion. This is my second time going to Zion, but I'm really looking forward to doing way more exploration in the park. The last time I was there in 2012, I only spent one day there. It was a lovely day, but it wasn't long enough to do all the things I really wanted to do and all the trails I wanted to hike. So we are actually staging in a campground, which is a term for that we use for boondocking, where, like Marianne said, we empty all our waste tanks and fill up our water tanks and get our batteries nice and supercharged and get ourselves in gear. And then so we're staging here in a campground for 2 days, and then we're heading back out into the wilderness and parking right there within the boundaries of Zion on the public land. So stay tuned for my pictures of our of where we land and on Tuesday, I believe.
Oh, I'm so jealous. That was totally at the top of my least list is the area that you're going to, and I'm so excited for you to go there so that I can, you know, see it up close and live it through your eyes. But that is so one of the places that I intended to go. And we had originally planned on a trip out west. As you know, that was kind of our idea, was to return out west this summer. But I can tell you, since just the last few days, we've had a new project come to light on our income side. As you know, we have a pilot car business, and we've got a kind of a different project, and I can't share all the details, but I can tell you that about 24 hours ago, this whole project came to light. It takes us to a completely different area of the country, and I was sitting there thinking, oh, my gosh, I have no excuse to not do this. One of my kiddos said, well, we've got an RV, right, Mom? So we just go there, and we just tried it, and we just try to do it, and I'm thinking, wow, you know. Takes the 11-year-old to give you the push you need. So our summer has completely changed in the past 24 hours, and I'm excited to see what that might bring on our – that's going to be on our radar. So hopefully we'll be able to share those details in the next couple of weeks. But no matter where we are, we will definitely be back in September for the back-to-school rally, which I just can't say enough about. I'm so excited about that.
I am, too. I'm really looking forward to exploring all the elements of not going back to school. And when I was talking to Mitch and she said, I'd like to do school portraits, but not the regular school portraits. I'd like to do, you know, kid portraits. I thought that is brilliant because, you know, one of the things I miss from my regular sticks and bricks lifestyle, my old lifestyle, was those annual portraits. Right? You know, they just brought them home. It was no extra work on my part. Just maybe send them to school clean and well-brushed, and they'd come home with those portraits, and that was really lovely to collect those. And yet, I don't make that a priority in my life on the road. So being able to still get those portraits. And P.S., like she said, these are not your normal back-to-school portraits. They're not those posed, hokey-looking portraits. These are going to be really beautiful, artistic portraits that you will cherish for many, many years of your family and your children. I'm really excited about that. So that's one element that goes on at school that we are going to replicate in our not back-to-school rally, but not do the same way. So if any of our listeners are listening in and can think of things that go on at school that we can add as a feature to this event, but put our road school twist on it, Mary Beth and I are all ears, because we know there's huge amounts of potential for our not back to school rally. And I got to tell you, these logos that are coming in, remember, there's a logo contest going on for 3 more days. You can go to fulltimefamilies.com and find the information about it. It's right there on the front page. Every single one of them is completely different from the other, and each of them is completely appropriate for the event. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait till we get all of those collectively together. It'll be hard to choose one, but it'll be a fun thing. And, you know, I love what you said. If you're listening, this rally really is at a great time. It's, you know, even though some of us do, you know, homeschool year-round, you know, September, that's kind of the time when a lot of people recharge or regroup or, you know, start new curriculums or new programs. And so that's what Kimberly and I have tried to do, is to try to gear everything up towards that time. And there are going to be so many resources that will be available from this rally. Even if you don't get to come and physically attend there, you'll want to follow along and follow our schedules and see all the really cool things that are going to be offered at that, that you will be able to tie into from Road Trip Teacher and Full-Time Families.
Yeah, it's just a great time, and I love that we will be able to explore Branson's premier attractions at a fraction of the cost with, you know, educational group discounts, and pretty much when they're all, you know, empty, because really this is the exact time when everyone is going back to school. So if you've ever wanted to go to Silver Dollar City and pretty much have it all to yourself and your road school friends, then you need to definitely make plans to join us and the Titanic Museum, and hopefully catch a couple family-friendly shows. We have Jill Jenkins, who was the rally wagon master for the Root and Tootin' Road School Rally at the convention last year, already working on negotiating those discounts on our behalf at the greatest attractions Branson has to offer. So I'm really, the potential of this is so vast, and I'm so glad that we started so early to work on it, and we've already got quite a few families signed up. So it's going to be so much fun.
It is. And, you know, this is just with the activities, the field trips, but the scenery in that part of the country and at that time of the year is going to be spectacular. And, you know, the Ozarks and just that part of Missouri is beautiful. There's lots of things to do there, but there's also lots of space and lots of time to just unwind and really, really enjoy this, our surroundings and the land around us. So I'm so looking forward to it. Actually, we already have do you have a thing on your calendar yet? Because my kiddos have already made their countdown. We already know how many days it is and all that thing. So.
Yep, I have it on my calendar. It's there looking at me every time I go to September, every time I flip through, I see it. I want to mention that tomorrow, Monday, at 5 p.m. Pacific time, we'll be hosting our monthly book club meeting with Mike Grass. As you know, he's the creator of Adventure with the Parker series, and every month we read one of his books. This last one was Smoky Mountain Adventure. My kiddos love his books, and I know they love his books. Not only do they sit there and listen intensely and understand and, you know, are really tuned in, but as soon as we finish one, they make me run online and buy another one. So that's really the stamp of approval for my kiddos, and we've been really enjoying the majority of the series since we found it, and he was really open to discussing it with families. And at our book club party, you'll learn all the inspiration behind the particular book that we're discussing, and you'll learn about the next book in the series, and one lucky party attendee will go home with their copy of the next book in the series. So I hope you'll join us tomorrow. You can find out information about that if you join our Adventure with the Parkers Book Club group on Facebook, which is open. So if you start typing in Adventures, you should see it, Full-Time Families Adventures with the Parkers Book Club. So And I will be busy all week. We have been gifted by an angel an amazing new interface for our campground directory. As you know, Mary Beth, Full Time Families is building a directory of family-friendly campgrounds across the country. What we look for in a campground that is considered family-friendly certified is amenities, internet, and that they will waive any additional person fee, i.e. the kid tax, for any full-time family card-carrying members. So we currently have 184 as of this broadcast, and we park next to a retired developer, and he said, I'd love to help you out. I'd love to build a new interface that works really well. As you know, our interface now is really lame and dumpy. So he's a complete angel to us, and he's built it so that, I mean, like literally, Mary Beth, if you bring up the website, it's not live yet, so you can't do it right now, but I've been testing it all week. If you bring up the website, it'll ask your phone, you know, where is the phone located, and it'll bring up the closest family-friendly campground to you, and then it'll bring up the attributes, like if there's good Verizon, if there's good AT&T, if there's a playground, and then it will, there's just a button to call, so you can make your reservation right there from that website. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's everything I dreamed of, and then 10 times more.
Well, I can't wait. That's something that I've been watching from a distance. You, with this compilation, I guess, if this is a good word, of all of these campgrounds that are FTF friendly and or they're family friendly, and it's amazing. It's a very valuable resource. So looking forward to the website.
So what's going on at Road Trip Teacher? What's new down the pike?
Well, I alluded to this a little bit, I think, a couple weeks ago when I was talking to you about my kindergartner in our road school kindergarten. We have gotten really into sight words as something that I didn't really realize how hungry my kindergartner was to read. And so the sight word things that we were doing was really taken off. And so I have been developing some sight word activities that are really super easy, super simple. And so I'm making printables for those that will be available at Road Trip Teacher through our learning shop. Those will be all free in our learning shop there at roadtripteacher.com. And so I'll be uploading those over the next couple of weeks. And the other thing that we've been doing, we talked a little bit about this, I think, too, before about capitals and states, right? So everybody thinks that because we travel and we're on the road that our kids should be experts on the capitals and states. And as we've talked about before, my kiddos really aren't. I mean, they know the capitals of the states that we've visited a lot. So I've been developing some fun activities, and, of course, it had a competitive nature to it. And so I'm going to be putting that also in a printable form over at Road Trip Teacher. There will be a free printable available on the Learning Shop as well. So you can watch for those over the next 10 to 14 days.
Awesome. And I've been on our FTF Explorer site and noticed that a lot of explorers are taking advantage of the Flash Badge, which was the opportunity, limited time opportunity to earn the limited edition rally badge. Because based on the learning guide that you created for Lake Mead, which has been receiving rave reviews. So thanks so much for that.
Well, you're welcome. I love it that everybody's enjoying it, and I love all the feedback. I've gotten several emails, and if you've done one of the Lake Mead guides at the rally, or even, you know, if you weren't at the rally and you downloaded one, that's awesome too. I love to get feedback, and if there's something your kiddos absolutely loved or absolutely hated, I like to hear either way, because that's what we're all about, is to kind of make these work for our kiddos for all, you know, all across all the ages in your rig. And I love to hear feedback. So please send that to info@roadtripteacher.com.
Right. And the other feedback that we love, love, love to get, and will actually get you a free guide from roadtripteacher.com, is liking us on iTunes. That's really, if you like this show, please, before you click off tonight, go ahead and go to iTunes and search out Road School Moms and give us a review, and then let us know anywhere, either through our Facebook group or in your at info@roadtripteacher.com. You can email Mary Beth, or you can even email me, Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com, and let us know that you gave us feedback. And Mary Beth generously provides every listener who provides feedback for us their choice of a learning guide. So lovely stuff.
It is lovely stuff. Gosh, I'm so glad to be back on the air tonight. I totally enjoyed our Easter holiday last weekend, but I really, 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 really missed you and talking on our Road School Moms show and just talking to all the regulars that show up on our chat, and it really, really has become part of my weekly routine. So enjoy the show.
Yeah, me too, Mary Beth. I did miss you very much, too, and I missed our listeners, and I'm just happy to be back. And next week, I'm really excited about next week's show. I'm always excited about every show. You know that. So don't take that either way. But next week we're going to be joined with Carol Parks. She's the brains behind Homeschool Moms Only, and she will be joining us to talk about businesses that homeschool moms can run. I know there's a lot of moms out there who are entrepreneurial in nature, and they're, you know, dealing with their kiddos' schooling, being the primary educator. But guess what? That does not preclude you from having your own business if that's what you'd like. So please join us next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same place, same channel, where we will be discussing with you businesses that are perfect fit for homeschool moms.
Well, that sounds intriguing. I can't wait to hear all about it. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
I think that's all I got.
Okay, well, as always, we want to thank all of our listeners and our hosts here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and we'll be here live next Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, same place, same time, no matter where in the world you are. And until then, safe travels and God bless.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.